The first reading is from Psalms 23, beginning at the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from 1 Peter 2, beginning in the 13th verse. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For this is the wall of God, the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the neighbor, the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, trusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
To the shepherd, the gatekeeper opens the door. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Lord Jesus, be our good shepherd. Come to us, call us by name, lead us out, and let us know your voice. Amen. Please be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 10, which was read this morning. John chapter 10, if you have your Bibles. Shepherds were tough, strong, calloused, outdoorsy, sweaty, caring, fearless men who cared for flocks of sheep. They were known for fighting off wild animals like lions and bears and wolves and poisonous snakes. They were also known for caring tenderly for sheep who were hurt or nursing or birthing or lost. And this function in society, with its care and tenderness, but also its authority and bravery, Jesus looks at and says, I'm like that for you, my people, my sheep. I am the good shepherd to you, my people, my sheep, Jesus says. And this week in the church year is actually set aside every year to look at this description of Jesus as our good shepherd. And so today, what I want to do is tease out four things that we see in this passage about our good shepherd. Three specifically about the shepherd, about Jesus, and then one about our response. So four things that we see in this passage. First, the shepherd comes to the sheep. Look at verse 2. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And I don't want to breeze over this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I don't want to breeze over it without mentioning it. I want us to see the enormous truth of this. God, in the person of Jesus, God incarnate, the good shepherd, God comes to us. The image is of a whole bunch of sheep in a sheep pen, and the shepherd comes to the sheep to collect and lead his flock. The sheep are not left to go out and find the shepherd. There's no philosophical angst over crawling around in the dark trying to find God. God, the good shepherd, comes to us and collects us. The good shepherd comes to the sheep. Second, the shepherd calls his sheep by name. Look at verse 3. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I've heard it said that a child's favorite sound in the whole world is the sound of his or her own name. There's a tenderness and an intimacy in calling someone by name. And it is deeply meaningful to be known like that, especially from someone in authority, which is the picture of the shepherd coming to the sheep. I remember there was a time when I was in seminary. Our archbishop, which is the highest church office in the United States and Canada, the one guy, he came to visit our seminary. And I had met him previously, and I knew him, but it wasn't that I expected him to really know me. I knew who he was, certainly, but I had met him a couple times, and I had spoken to him here and there, mostly before he was archbishop. But when he saw me as a 20-something-year-old seminary student, he was surrounded by bishops and other church school leaders and such, and I certainly didn't have the audacity to come interrupt and get in the middle of that. But when he saw me, he said, "Michael Guernsey," and walked over and gave me a great big hug. And that was an incredibly meaningful moment, to have someone know me by name and come and get me. There was an intimate moment there of simply being known by my leader. There's also an authority by calling someone by name. I was just talking with one of you here last week who goes by a shortened name and joking about the fact that the only time your full name was used was when you were in trouble. But there was an authority when a mom or a dad used your name and called you by your full name. Jesus calls his sheep by name. He knows us, cares for us, provides for us, leads us. He's the shepherd and we are the sheep, those called to follow his lead. The good shepherd comes to us, and he then knows us and lovingly calls us by name. And third, the shepherd leads the sheep. The shepherd leads the sheep. Verse 3, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The shepherd doesn't stand and bark orders at the sheep. Jesus, the good shepherd, leads the sheep. He leads us where we need to go. He shows us the way by leading us there. Some of you have heard me use this illustration before, but frankly, it's so good, I'm going to use it again. A friend of mine was in Israel, and he was on a tour of the Holy Land driving along in a large bus. Driving around a whole bunch of people in this bus with one tour guide at the front. And at some point, someone on the bus looked outside and they saw a shepherd and sheep. And they immediately, as they were in Israel, made the connection. This is a bus full of Christians. They made the connection between, wow, a shepherd and sheep and Jesus and his followers, us, and they were mesmerized by this, and they saw this, as they saw this flock of sheep being directed by a shepherd. And they asked the bus driver if he would just stop for a minute so they could just soak in this very significant moment of being in Israel and watching an Israelite shepherd directing his flock. And they asked if they could stop and just look at it for a minute, and the tour guide just laughed at them. He just laughed at these foreigners who obviously knew nothing about sheep. He said, "That's not the shepherd." And they said, "What are you talking about? How do you know he's not the shepherd?" And he said, No. The shepherd leads the sheep. That man is behind the sheep, directing them where to go. That's the butcher. The butcher drives the sheep. A bad shepherd, like the religious leaders mentioned in John chapter 9, just before our reading today, drives people, drives the sheep. The good shepherd leads. He goes with us. He goes before us. He knows the struggle and the pain. And he leads where he has gone before, into, as verse 10 says, into the abundant life. He leads us into the knowledge of God, something that we don't deserve or achieve on our own, but God freely gives us in his grace and his mercy and his love. And Jesus leads us into that abundant life of knowing and following God. The good shepherd leads his sheep. And then fourth, our part. The sheep, us, recognize the shepherd's voice. The sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. Verse 4, when the shepherd has brought out all his own, he goes before them. There he is leading. He goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. The shepherd calls, and the sheep, us, recognize and follow his voice. During conflicts between Palestinians and Israelis in the 1980s, the Israeli army punished a village near Bethlehem, and the commanding officer collected all of the village's animals and put them in a single large pen in the middle of town and wouldn't allow the owners to get access to them. But after about a week, a woman came and begged to let her sheep go. She said that she was a widow and the animals were the only way that she could provide for her family. And the commander responded saying that it was impossible, since there was no possible way to identify which precise 25 sheep were hers in the midst of these hundreds that belonged to others. And so she requested that if she could identify exactly which 25 belonged to her, whether he would be willing to let her take them home. And he, knowing that this was completely impossible, agreed and opened the gate. The woman's son, young son, entered and pulled out a small reed flute. And he began to play a simple tune. And he played it again, and again, and again. And as he played this, sheep heads started popping up all over as they looked up from their grazing and recognized the tune of their master. And this young boy kept playing and kept playing, and then he walked out and followed all the way home by exactly his 25 sheep. That is what Jesus is talking about when he says that the sheep know his voice. His followers, those saved by his grace, those joined with him in faith, those filled with God's Spirit can and do recognize his voice in the midst of the thousands of other voices calling out to us. We, Jesus' flock, Jesus' followers, need to recognize and follow his voice. And so the question becomes for us, how do we do that? How do we recognize Jesus' voice, the voice of the good shepherd that comes to us, that calls to us, that leads us out? How do we recognize that voice? And that's a longer answer. I'm going to give you two ways that we can learn to recognize Jesus' voice. And I'm going to limit it to two because I think these really are the two most important. First, we have got to read and know the Bible. Jesus has spoken to us in Scripture, and we need to hear what he has already spoken in order to learn to recognize his voice. In my position, I have heard people say things like, "Jesus said to me," or, "I know God would want me to," fill in the blank. And then they say something that is actually contrary to what Jesus has already said in Scripture. I remember at one point seeing a conflict take place in which one person said that he prayed and Jesus told him to do something. And I then had to, in my role, help him see that the action that he believed Jesus had told him to do is actually the exact opposite of what Jesus tells all of us to do in Scripture when a conflict arises. The reality is that we need to learn to recognize Jesus' voice in the Bible, in Scripture, in what he has already spoken to us, so that we can learn to recognize his voice outside of the Bible as well. If you do not have a regular habit of faithful Bible reading, start one. Through it, God can, and I believe will, revolutionize your ability to learn to recognize his voice. Second, we learn to recognize Jesus' voice through prayer. As one person has put it, prayer is the main business of our lives. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is time with God. Prayer is an intentional refocus onto God, where everything else just gets put down, just gets put away while we focus in and refocus on God. The most influential Christians throughout all of history knew the power of prayer. Men and women who knew God's power knew that it came through connecting with God in prayer. They knew that they could learn to recognize Jesus' voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd, through prayer. And they would spend hours and days in prayer, focused on Jesus, listening to Jesus, pouring out their hearts to Jesus. One of the most challenging sentences about this was from the church leader and reformer Martin Luther, who said, "Today's going to be such an incredibly busy day, I have to spend 3 hours in prayer." That tends to be the opposite of the way that I do things. Today's going to be so busy and so significant that I must spend 3 hours in prayer. That's the way certain Christians throughout history have lived. In our society, though, prayer does not tend to play that kind of central role. To be honest, it is not the main business of most of our lives. And we often see in ourselves and in our churches and in our societies a conspicuous absence of wholehearted devotion to Jesus. Far too often we've lost that tuned-in ear to hear Jesus' voice above all the others. The TV news comes through so clearly and it drowns out what Jesus says in the Bible. So much so that sometimes we confuse what we hear on TV with what Jesus says. And we think that what we're hearing is actually Jesus' words. The busyness and the activities, both work and play, which are not bad things, can keep us so focused and so busy that we're focused on the voices around us and that we've forgotten how to hear Jesus' voice. But we can learn to hear Jesus' voice, to recognize his voice so that we don't follow the stranger's voice, so that we don't follow the wrong voice, voices that lead us in the wrong direction. We can learn to hear and recognize Jesus' voice through prayer. And so I'm going to invite us to respond to this in one of three simple ways. The first way, we're going to play a song in just a few minutes, just an audio that we're going to play. And we're just going to sit for a few minutes in prayer. And what we're going to do, one group of people, this might be the way for you to respond. If you're not sure about this, you're not sure about Jesus, you're not sure about prayer, you're not entirely sure why you're here today, if you would like to just sit and listen, that is a great way to respond. That's one way to respond. A second way, on sort of the polar opposite, there are people here when we say we're going to pray, you're just instantly going to be lost and immersed in prayer. We have people like that here. And if that's how you want to respond, great, do that. For the rest of us, what I'd like to offer, I'm going to offer a third way that we can respond to Jesus this morning in just a minute in prayer, a way that we can spend time in prayer. Before I explain it, I'm just going to call it out, and I'm just going to name it. Some of you here are going to think what I'm about to say is the dumbest idea you have ever heard. And I'm okay with that, and the reason I say that is because I was just in your shoes last week, and I thought it was the dumbest idea I'd ever heard until I did it, and I found it incredibly helpful. So if you think this is dumb in advance, that's fine. But I actually found it to be very, very valuable and very helpful, which is why I'm offering it for us to do today. The person that taught this to me described it as doodling your prayer. And what I found in trying this, as silly as I felt, what I found in trying this was it enabled me to stay focused on what I was praying for the entire time that we did it, and we did it longer than we're going to do it this morning. So I invite you to try it. What you do is you take a piece of paper. If you take your bulletin, there's blank space on the back, but also throughout in the seat backs in front of you, there are some blank pieces of paper, blank 3x5 index cards. If you'd like to take one of those out and take out a pen, we have those on the seat backs in front of you as well. And I'm actually going to invite you to basically, in a minute when the music starts, we'll move into prayer. And what we're going to do is just take a minute to draw your prayer. As I said, some of you already think I'm being dumb, but draw your prayer, and let me tell you what I mean. Some of you will actually draw pictures because you're artistic, that's the way your brain works, and that's great. And you'll think of, for example, you'll think of your family, so you'll draw a house, and you'll think about a difficult thing somebody's going through, and you'll draw a rain cloud all the while praying about what's going on, and you'll pray that God would intervene, and you'll draw a rainbow because that's the way your brain thinks. That's great. Do whatever sort of works, whatever direction that your brain goes in prayer. Others of you who are completely and utterly drawing inept, like I am, might just do something like draw stick figures, or what I did was I drew the person's name that I was praying for. I just wrote their name. Mine was not artistic at all. I wrote their name, and then as I was praying for that person, I wrote just one word over here and drew a line, about the thing I was praying for. And then from there, I sort of sparked my mind going this way and that way. And then I sort of finished that rabbit trail and I came back to the person I was praying for and I prayed in a new direction. And so mine just sort of looked like a web of words that helped me stay focused. But I realized for the entire time, I really was praying for that person. And it helped me stay focused. So in whatever way your brain works as we do this, I'm going to invite you to enter in and try what was called doodling your prayer. The result on the paper is irrelevant. It might be beautiful, or it might look like mine. The result on the paper doesn't matter. But what matters is using this as a tool for us to pray and see if it helps you. Jesus, our good shepherd, comes to us. He doesn't wait for us to come to him. He comes to us. Thanks be to God. Jesus, our good shepherd, knows us, and he calls us by name. Jesus, our good shepherd, lovingly leads us. He doesn't send us out on our own. He leads us where he wants us to go. And we, the flock of sheep, we can and must learn to recognize and follow his voice. The voice of truth and love calling out to us in the midst of 1,000 other voices. We must learn to know and follow his voice. So as we learn to recognize his voice, let's listen and pray.
Where you are, I wanna know, Lord, who you are. So when you call my name, I'll say to you, here I am. I'm listening, Lord, speak to me. I wanna see how you see. Change my heart, Lord, and make me holy. If there's anything in my life that doesn't honor you tonight, I'm listening, Lord. Speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me.